starting earlier every single day. It's now 4 seconds after the hour. It used to be like a minute and 20 seconds, and then it was like 35 seconds, and it was 14. Today it's just 5.
Someday it'll take over the world.
Creeping like a fungus.
Or that Morgellons thing that makes carpet grow out of your skin. We'll talk about that. Best disease ever. All right, it's 27 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of July, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Appreciate you coming by. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Expect no genius, expect no brilliance, expect no fantastic knowledge or insight of any kind today. I've had exactly 4.5 minutes to prep today's program. Don't worry. I'm not going to let it stand in the way of our usual radio whimsicality. We're going to proceed as normal today. Don't you worry your pretty little head. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to email, you can also do that as well. You can engage with us electronically if you prefer. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. What did we learn yesterday? Yesterday we learned that you can buy a human skull for less than you might expect. Is that the coffee from last week that's still sitting in there? Right over there to your left? Oh, we have cleaning people to cut. Have they gotten rid of those, too? All right. Well, in any event. So who knows what you will learn today, my friends? Coming up, well, before I do the coming up, we'll welcome Mailman Chris to the program in a moment. He's become the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. And he will tally all of the things which I am going to forward promote and guarantees. And then at the end of the program, we'll bring him back. We'll find out what I've gotten to, what I have not gotten to, and I will owe a push-up to you, the Rick Emerson listening community, as embodied by Sarah Dillon, for each item not gotten to. What's my current push-up tally?
19.
I think it's 18.
Let's update the tote board.
We really should get Jerry Lewis in here.
It just isn't enough.
And then you can sweat and blow it up and become addicted to Percodan.
Where's Dean?
Oh, he's dead.
Why, Dean can't walk? Oh, good times. All right. It's 503-733-2970. The coffee's just now kicking in. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. And we'll have to start giving away tote bags and doing long, weird, middle-of-the-night hallucinatory rants about Sammy Davis Jr. while loosening your bow tie and sweating a lot right through your suit. Let's welcome Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
How are you, Chris?
Not bad, and it pains me to say it, but the tote board is a little light there. That is 19.
It is not. Are you sure it's 19? Because I swear to God.
I am the stenographer.
All right, look, there's no need to become full of oneself, Chris.
It's not like you're a job. He's doing it accurately.
You're not the Holy See. You. I don't know that you're infallible, but I will say, now, yesterday, I believe I had 17, and then the only thing I didn't get to, am I right about this, or the only thing I failed to get to yesterday was the top five? Is that true?
That is correct. You had 17 on Monday, and you didn't get the top five, so it went to 18, and then you had 18 yesterday, and you didn't get the top
five. When is the last time I got a top five? Does anybody know? Or is that falling in the same pile as what is the last movie Tara Reid did? All right. Well, okay. Here's what we're going to get to today. And keep in mind, I'm now reading, I'm holding up a blank piece of paper. I am reading, and nobody in the studio, nobody can see me. I'm holding up a legal pad and still reading off of it because it's just what I do. It's a legal pad upon which nothing is written because I'm running late today. One of those days where I was running 20 minutes late from the time my stockinged feet hit the floor this morning. So coming up today, well, I know we're going to do the Rockstar recap. We'll talk about Storm Large and her jaw-dropping performance last night, which was really fantastic. I mean, if you saw Storm last night, you know what I'm talking about. And Rockstar Supernova, it was...
she was like a superhero, like a Wonder Woman.
I got to tell you, man, it was not only the best musical performance that she's done so far, it was the single best moment she's had. Because up until last night, everybody said it was that Google moment, that thing where she made that crack about Google to Tommy Lee, which the New York Daily News actually printed a whole story about. Last night, topped them all. So we'll talk about Rockstar Supernova last night. We'll talk to Scotty J about we'll ask the magical question, who is on Scotty J's guests to book list? We'll have another installment of Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics for Rockfest 11 tickets. We'll have the, I swear to God, we'll get to it today. We will get to the top five burning song. Now that the heat is somewhat dissipated and the whole list is pointless and out of date, now that there's no longer any reason, now that it's no longer relevant in any way, any sense of being germane has passed. We'll go ahead and do that today. The top five burning songs. What else? We've seen in radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who will be joining us from... And I'm with you. I thought Damascus was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Damascus is apparently in... Is there just a Damascus everywhere? Is it like Plainfield and Springfield and Elm Street?
There's one next to Gresham.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's a Damascus next to... If you go out in that direction, I bought my car out there.
If you're looking to be blinded on the road somewhere. Mm-hmm. All right. Bible humor there. So we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard in Damascus. We will talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop as well, who is, did I read this morning? They're questioning some guy in the disappearance of 65 women, 55 women?
54, I think.
All right. This is a separate story from that woman yesterday that had the severed head in her bedroom or her basement or wherever the hell
That's
it was.
A severed head lady, yeah.
We were way ahead of the curve on that one, by the way. This morning I started seeing headlines, no pun intended, trickling. Just an unfortunate... Unfortunate confluence of words there. I started seeing headlines trickling out about that. But she had some hand floating in a... It was like full-on David Fincher, Kevin Spacey, John Doe, what's in the box kind of stuff, too. It was like a hand preserved in a jar sitting by her bedside. All right, and I believe that's it. I don't think I want to tease anything else. Chen Lane may or may not be here. I'm not willing to stake my reputation on it at this point. All right, have you got today's list, sir?
I do. It's Rockstar Recap, Scotty J's guest booker list. It's about the fake metal lyric, top five burning songs, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and Chen Lane as a bonus.
Oh, yeah, so Chen Lane, Chen Lane is beyond my control at this juncture there, so I'm not willing to put any sort of science on that, as the kids say.
All right, that'll work.
Thank you, sir.
You going to sing You'll Never Walk Alone now?
No, I'm not. Thank you. Goodbye. All right, now that's, there you go. That's Mailman Chris. Mailman Chris will join us again at the end of today's program. He will tally up those items gotten to, and those items not. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and polka-dotted Sarah X. Dillon, who's joining us here today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. So we were going to watch... I'd like you to know, by the way, that I passed up a screening of Miami Vice for apparently no reason last night, for nothing, for bupkis. I was supposed to go to see Miami Vice because Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, he is a man who, as Morgan Freeman is in The Shawshank Redemption, Scott Daly is a man who can get you things. And in this case, he was able to, just two nights in a row, he got me tickets to see the new Woody Allen film on Monday, which he took us, and he works like 100 miles away. Doesn't he work like on the outskirts of Tannisbourne or some damn place? Well, whatever. Anyway, he came by the station and dropped off tickets to the Woody Allen film. Thank you so much for going out of your way. I appreciate it. Let me now not go. And so I didn't go, and I felt like an ass because he brought me the tickets and I never used them. And then he goes out of his way to invite me to Miami Vice last night, and I swear to God I'm going to go. And then you give me the big guilt trip about how I got to go to Sabala's and watch Storm with you.
And then there wasn't a projector there, so I just ended up watching it at home.
It was me, so I'm glad you called me, by the way, because I was actually on my bicycle. I had just redressed in my bicycling garb. I was on my bicycle actually rolling down the street when the phone rang, and it was usually that Jason Sabala had vanished and the projector was gone, and there was no television.
I was just as disappointed as you, so I'm sorry that you missed past up Miami Vice.
That's all right. Well, we'll find out if it was any good. I think coming up this Friday, I believe they'll be in the studio with a review of Miami Vice, but they saw that last night. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
It's not the end of the world as we know it yet, as Israel and Hezbollah continue to find things to bomb in an area as big as a mall parking lot. A man jumps out of his Jeep to escape a bee, only to be run over by the vehicle.
Zing!
George Michael's wedding is back on after he gives his fiancée a $1 million gift, and Lance Bass reveals he's gay but seems content in his relationship with a reality show star and won't be in the bushes.
Which apparently everybody knew but me. Sarah, because I said, Lance Bass is gay, so it's like, yeah, he's dating What's-His-Guts from what is The Amazing Race?
I don't remember what he's from, but he's been photographed forever with him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been known in the web
Shopping
community.
Shopping for potholders together?
For a long time. The first time I heard it was in college, and my friend's brother was gay and claimed to have a...
It was like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You always wonder how things like that... Lance Bass... Well, whatever. You figure he's not... he's a man of some note. You'd figure if he's off canoodling at Elaine's with somebody, that's the sort of thing that you would... That would have turned up in the Mike Walker column long ago.
And that's why we're happy for him.
No,
now,
no, I'm not...
In no way am I trying to
bash on him. He seems like a very happy and contented and well-coiffed individual. No, he seems cool with the whole thing. But in my own defense, all boy band members look alike. So if you were going to say, look, one of these guys is gay, and you show me the assembly... The only guy you know is not is... What's his name? Who's... Who's that idiot from the Backstreet Boys with the mascara beard? He's got like the Hollywood Hulk Hogan beard.
Oh, yeah.
What was that guy's name? Is Kevin
Zigmanger?
Dr. Herfer? Dr. Rosen?
I don't follow these kids' things.
I don't listen to hip-hop. And speaking of Mike Wallace, that's that caffeine. See, now you can hear the ramp-up. Speaking of Mike Walker's gossip column, I now hold in my hands the new National Enquirer. There's no news about baby Suri, by the way. Although, this week's Star just has a huge, hilarious headline that says, "What's wrong with baby Suri? Why can't we see her?"
People are getting angry.
They really are. We should start a picket. We should go picket somewhere. So we should picket outside the Scientology Center downtown and demand that they give us the baby. We want the baby.
I would do that. That's funny.
Attention, Susan Reynolds in marketing. We're going to... Please now to begin drafting some sort of
press release. In front of the Celebrity Scientology Center, we're doing it.
We're going to go pick at the Celebrity Center and demand to see the baby. All right, I'm all over that.
I am too.
You sons of bitches, anybody else does that, I'm going to come and I'm going to kill your family. Not really.
Why did you say that out loud? Now somebody is going to do it. You've got to do it soon,
then. It's Omerta. Do this now, I'm coming for your family.
What celebrities would be in the Portland Center?
Nancy Cartwright. Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson's voice. Ah. She's a Scientologist.
But she would be at the Portland Center.
Oh, she's crazy, though.
Really?
Yeah, she seems way, way nutty. But on the front of this week's National Enquirer, Hollywood boobs. Who's a real? Who's a fake? So we'll go through that just because it's an opportunity to ogle Scarlett Johansson, who is flawless, by the way, in every conceivable fashion.
Real, aren't they?
And you know, was this on the air or off the air that we were talking about her and Woody Allen? And about how you know that they've laid sweaty and tangled in a bed together.
I think it was on the
air. That gives all of us hope. Yeah, because I was talking about it gives hope to nerdy, bespectacled, large-nosed men like myself. Way to go, Woody Allen. All right. So there you go. And that's it. So we'll talk about Storm last night. And again, I apologize. I sound a little loopy today. I run a little bit behind. I had a meeting at 10, and then another sort of ad hoc meeting at 11:30. And I'm just a creature of habit, as everybody knows. And so here's the way my day works, just in case you want to play the home game. So, like, do you ever ask yourself, like, not that I'm a celebrity or anything like that, but, you know, there's people out there that, you know, I know that there's people who think of Sarah late at night, so it's entirely possible there's someone who thinks of me.
There are people less known than you.
Yes, that's true. I suppose there are people even more obscure than myself. So, relatively speaking, it's all about me. But did you ever ask yourself, like, what is Christopher Walken doing right now? And just like, I have often wished this, that I could have some sort of a camera that would immediately beam me to some celebrity's house at any given moment, just not because I want to catch them in the act of doing something salacious as such, just because you wonder what they're doing. Like, what is Loretta Swit doing right now? See, no one knows. I'd be fascinated to know. What is Joyce DeWitt doing right at this exact moment?
I don't know.
What is Nick Lachey doing right as we speak? He's in bed with a stripper.
Yeah.
Crying.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's crying with joy.
Oh. He's been crying a lot on TV lately.
But if you want to ask, well, that's to show a sensitive side. If you want to ask yourself, like, what is Rick Emerson doing right now? Here's the thing. Every day at 10:30, I have two sandwiches for lunch, and I begin reading the day's news. This is my exciting life. Every day at 10:30, I microwave two sandwiches. I then, because I get a whole thing about things being toasty, I then eat them, I read the news. At 11 a.m., I begin drinking coffee. At 11:30, I take a small bathroom break, and then I come here about 11:50, 11:55. We banter whimsically back and forth, and then I begin the show. I had some point here. Where was I going with this?
Oh,
and so today...
behind the scenes look.
Well, I was going to say, it's a behind the curtain. So today, though, but all of those moments, 10, 10:30, 11, 11, they were all blocked by meetings. And so I'm just now drinking my coffee.
Oh.
So there you go.
We can take a coffee break if you want.
You're at 11 o'clock right now.
Yeah, really, it's still 11 o'clock in my head. So I'm not quite up to Rick Emerson. I'm only at Tim Savage levels right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let us go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, a day after meeting with the president at the White House for the first time, Iraq's prime minister, who is it today? It is Nouri al-Maliki. Addressed a joint session at Congress this morning. Through an interpreter, Al Maliki says terrorists are continuing to murder people in Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I was thinking of something funny.
Thousands more continue to die in Iraq today at the hands of the same terrorists who show complete disregard.
What's going on in the background?
For human life.
Oh, is that him?
That's him.
Sounds like a lot. How much am I bid for this goat?
No, he's speaking Iraqi.
Do I hear 50? 50 for this goat. No, this is when you say every, what's his name? Maliki?
Yeah.
Okay, every time you say that, you know what I hear in my head? Is I hear, Maliki Licky Hi, Mickey Honey Ho.
Don't want my goat? Off with your head. Meanwhile, the president.
Playhouse. Never mind.
The president says Mo Coalition.
I need Mo Coalition.
They will be moved to portions of Beirut as soon as possible to secure the country of Iraq.
I also need Parliament Funkadelic Records. I'm sorry.
Who would know?
This plan will involve embedding more U.S. military police with Iraqi police units. Have agreed to deploy additional American troops.
I have a question before we even continue the soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you this. I don't know what embedding means. I mean, I know the dictionary definition. I've got a tick. It's embedded in my skin. Please to get me some Vaseline and a match. I don't know what it means. Is that a made-up term? And by made-up, I'm not saying it's not a word. Right. But I'm saying this military usage of the word embedded, is that code? Is that some new speak that they have started saying now? You know, because they're not, because it's not a civil war, it's an insurgency. Right. And then they weren't insurgents, they were dead enders.
Right.
When they say embedded, I'm serious about this now. Somebody, what does that mean? I should ask Lisa Goddard that. Hold on, note to self.
She'll think you're very intelligent.
Lisa's even more intelligent. Mm-hmm. Lisa Goddard, embedded. And I'm going to skip the obvious joke about...
And you'll hear a little giggle, and then you get a response.
See, but you know what the thing is? When you're talking to Lisa Goddard and you use the phrase, embedded, there's, see, the opportunity, the door is open there for some sort of lighthearted screwball comedy sexual banter, if she wants to participate in that. She may not. So we're embedded somewhere.
This plan will involve embedding more U.S. military police with Iraqi police units. Have agreed to deploy additional American troops and Iraqi security personnel in Baghdad in the coming weeks. Our military commanders tell me that this deployment will better reflect the current conditions on the ground in Iraq.
Whatever.
Our military advisors.
I mean, it doesn't matter what goes on in that area of the world. It's going to be bombed by the end of the day. I mean, why doesn't everybody just stay in and let the place be obliterated?
It really is.
They come up with the brooms and sweep it all up after?
It is like building an exotic sandcastle at low tide. I don't understand. It's in the Bible, they spoke to the man who built his house on a bed of sand. That the whole place literally is a bed of sand. You're literally building a country on shifting sands, both literally and figuratively. It's also worth noting that apparently he's listening to his military advisors. Now, the military advisors who 3 years ago told him this was going to be a gigantic cluster F. So there's no point in listening then. Let's listen now that it's too late. That's what we call the horse and the milk and the spilling and the door and the barn and the right twice a day.
Anyway, the verdict is in for Texas killer mom Andrea Yates. Judge Belinda has read the verdict from the jury.
Oh, you know, and this is the not guilty thing, isn't it?
In cause number 880205, the state of Texas versus Andrea P.A. Yates, we, the jury, find the defendant Andrea P.A. Yates not guilty by reason of insanity.
Now, and I'm such a bleeding heart, and you know I'm all opposed to the death penalty and capital punishment. And here's why. Let me just tell you, I'm not going to drone on about this. Here's why I think the death penalty needs to be illegal. Because it's so tempting to kill so many people. Because there's so many people that need killing, as they used to say in Texas. And as I never tire of pointing out, you know, up until like 1910, it was a legal defense to kill someone in Texas if he, quote, needed killing. And that there's a whole lot of people that need killing in this world. Scott Daly and I have talked about this, because Scott Daly sent a man to die. He was on a jury last year. Guy killed some people. Scott Daly's like, and we said, hang the bastard. He had no problem with. Wasn't his dad a cop, Scott Daly?
He may have been.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so he had no problem sending this guy to death row, which is, and the whole reason that I think the death penalty ought to be illegal is to keep people for myself from just killing folks who need it. Because that's clearly a woman who needs to be killed in some long, excruciating, painful fashion. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it. She obviously does deserve it.
Sounds like some zany morning show contest in Texas.
God, if she's just, does Likas do a take me out Andrea Yates style? I'm pretty sure he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horrific. Let's not recreate that now, but crazy or not, and I'm inclined to believe that she is crazy, because isn't she the one, she drowned all her kids? Isn't that her?
Yeah, that's her.
So she's probably nuts, but, You know what? There's a certain, there's nuts that gets better and there's nuts that just becomes nuttier. And at a certain point, you're just, you're taking up oxygen that we, the rest of us could be using. So,
I'm surprised she's not putting the other weekend radio show.
It's a terrible, terrible thing to say.
It got a chuckle out of me, though.
Flame it.
Meanwhile, prosecutors say a man shoved a cell phone down his girlfriend's throat because he was angry and jealous.
Wait, there's a pun there somewhere. Can you hear me now? No, that's not it. It's, yeah, cell, selfish. Ah, okay, I lost. I have nothing.
Defense attorneys insisted as the trial got underway that the woman swallowed the phone intentionally to keep the defendant from seeing whom she had been calling. Marlon Brando Gill is charged with first-degree assault in the incident involving...
Marlon Brando?
Right, Marlon Brando Gill. His last name is Gill.
That's sort of like when you're excited to meet somebody for a second, and they're like, hi, I'm James Brown Lipinski, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it involved 25-year-old Melinda Abel had given
Able to swallow a cell phone.
She certainly was. Inconsistent accounts of what happened before she was taken to the hospital, where an emergency room doctor removed the phone.
Melinda, what happened? Okay, and then?
Well, she couldn't remember how the phone got in her throat.
Saying I can't remember.
She drank too much that night.
No, really? What kind of a phone was it? If it was a Bluetooth technology phone, you can swallow a Bluetooth phone.
If it was a Razor phone, it would have slit her throat.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Well, she couldn't recall writing a statement to a police officer after the incident in which she said, quote, I think he thought I was talking to other guys, so he took my phone to see who I was calling. I didn't want him to see my phone. I would have thrown it out the window and busted it.
I'm so confused about this.
Mm-hmm.
Who understands this story? Sarah?
It sounds like she was trying to avoid any confrontation with her boyfriend or someone she wasn't supposed to, so she ate it.
But right. The cops say that that's not true. What do the cops say happened? Do they say he shoved it down her throat?
No, they don't say that. They're reviewing her testimony.
All right.
They're saying she shoved it down her throat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought he was under arrest.
But he was.
So confusing. Oh, okay. So
first degree assault.
Is it that they arrested him for shoving the cell phone down her throat, but
correct.
Then upon further inspection,
correct.
Revealed that she swallowed it?
Mm-hmm.
How would you even swallow a cell phone?
I don't know.
I mean,
Well, she probably doesn't have, like, a gag reflex.
Maybe she's Asian. It's Gary, but wasn't it Gary Baumgarten that told us that?
It was Gary Baumgarten.
Gary Baumgarten, by the way, this is not a cultural generalization being made by me, Rick Emerson. Gary Baumgarten, mm-hmm. a CNN radio news correspondent mm-hmm. who was covering the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
A seasoned reporter.
He told us that Asians have presumably Asian women mm-hmm. have no
Why
gag reflex.
Asian?
You were here. When there was that graffiti that was sprayed, was it here? There was that graffiti that was sprayed on some, it was like a Korean store or something, and it was Asians Go Home. It was A-S-A-N-S. More of that. It's good that bigots never let you down, right? You know, they never spell anything correctly. There's all kinds of grammar going on. They're always missing several teeth and possibly a finger. So, Asians Go Home. And it's just funny. Saying Asians is hilarious. All right, so she swallowed. It must have hurt like hell when she swallowed the cell. Man, there's something. I don't know what it is. Is this person calling about the cell phone?
I think we beat this story to death.
Let's see.
I guess not.
Scotty is noting that any woman who can swallow a cell phone will have no shortage of dates. Yes. Matthew, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
It just brought something to mind. You know, if you date the phone, then wouldn't it create cellulite? I mean, that's...
I'm sorry. That's my fault. I should have been prepared for this eventuality. I should have anticipated that I would be needing the wait. And there we go. Cellulitis. All right. Thank you, sir.
And as she walked around, she encountered some roaming charges.
All right. Yeah, I have to load. Oh, we should break here anyway. We've got Lisa Goddard coming up from Damascus. She was filled with self-loathing. I'm not funny today. I've got no humor. My humor appears as if you've seen my humor. If you've seen it laying around somewhere, please.
Well, if it's 11 o'clock, by 1 o'clock, your coffee will kick in. You'll be fine.
Because by 1 o'clock, it'll be noon.
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this with Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio, live from Damascus. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. I've heard this from about 100 different people this morning. This storm is currently a headline story on AOL's homepage this morning. For her leap from the stage last night. All is right with the world. I've probably had 15 or 30 emails this morning from people saying, have you seen the front page of AOL? Of course the answer is no. What's that?
Very few people see the front page of AOL.
You can just discern it past the busy signal. So, yeah, but apparently it's from the front page of AOL's news, which I guess is, you know.
It's a good thing.
I guess that's an achievement of some kind. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do the Rockstar Recap at 2 today. Jen Lane will be in the studio as well. Rockstar Recap. Oh, wait, maybe not. Okay, see, here's the thing. I know we got to get to Lisa Goddard because she's in Damascus. And see, I don't want to make the same joke. There's some joke about being blinded and blah, 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 and rejecting your life as a tax collector. There's something there. Jen just texted me. See, this is a frustrating thing. I got this new phone, and I haven't gone on and on about it because it's one of those things that I would say. I would start talking about my new phone, and it would take over the whole program like some sort of radio kudzu. But I got this new phone that it's so complex that it's actually difficult for me to figure out how to do anything. And Jen sent me a text message. Lizzie, why would you do this? Why would you send me a text message that says, check the voicemail I left you? If you're sending me, that's like sending me a letter to tell me to check my email that you sent me. It just doesn't make any sense. But so she sent me a text message saying, check my email. And of course, I can't, it doesn't look like there is an email or a voicemail. It's all very frustrating. Well, anyway, so Jen may or may not be here. Well, that was long and pointless. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Damascus. We should get a Middle East sounder for Lisa Goddard.
Yeah, because it seems kind of weird.
Some sort of a... sort of... That was Tim Riley who did that. Live from Damascus. Well, maybe the West Wing... The Aaron Sorkin sounder still works. It's sort of she's there bringing the sounds of democracy and freedom to the... yeah. Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, you know... I suppose we're not in
technology.
Yes. It's, now, are you use a satellite phone or a regular phone? How does this work?
This is a regular telephone. It's just a straight telephone line from Damascus straight to you in Portland.
So this is a weird question, but one of those things I wonder about is, I mean, does CNN or an organization like who pays the phone bill for you guys to sit there and talk to people all over the world all day long? I mean, how does that even work? Do you know?
Yeah, CNN pays. CNN pays for every minute.
That's pretty fantastic, actually. You think maybe they could afford to route a little bit of that money towards Bob Costantini so he could work more than a 2-hour day every morning? But I mean, that's just between you and me.
No, I know Bob Costantini works more than that.
Well, okay. He sounds a little embittered to me lately.
You know, I think they've overworked him because I was gone. They had him doing double shifts because Dick Giuliano, blah blah, was on vacation. It's rough.
Yes. Let me, very quickly, and again, in no way am I pumping you for any sort of gossip or anything, but Richard Weibra, who is one of the guest bookers at CNN, is he now the sole guest booker? Do you know if Laura is gone this week or if she's there and just,
No, it's all the summer vacation deal that Laura usually works afternoons, but now she's doing mornings because the morning guy's on vacation, but it's just now as you are becoming aware of it, tomorrow, like that, it's going to change back.
All right.
Everything changes back.
We speculated that we'd had another Pat St. Clair incident where Laura was just declining to speak to us. So that's happened in the past with some people. All right. Well, so you are in Damascus. Now, when they called you yesterday and you weren't able to speak because they said you were in transit, and I sort of assumed you were headed back to the States, but are you doing just like a whole tour? Are you going to have concert shirts or something here? Where are you? How long are you in Damascus? Where are you going after that?
I'm going for that AOL front page with the stage tag in the Middle East.
Exactly.
I don't know. But I don't know how long I'm here. I don't know. I know that we came to Damascus because I felt, and a lot of people at CNN felt it was really important for us to see this from an Arab country and to get this perspective. And here in Syria, we're really just an hour and a half from the front lines there in southern Lebanon, and this is where hundreds of thousands of evacuees have come. And they really do have a very, very different perspective here. This is where Hezbollah is thought of as a patriotic organization, a resistance movement, and its leader really is a hero in this part of the world.
And so Hezbollah in that part of that sort of, you hear those stories about Al Capone giving out turkeys and ice cream at Christmas time or whatever, and it was a much beloved figure, although reviled by the rest of the world. Is that sort of how it works there, that they have an inverse, they have a negative, a photo negative image almost of Hezbollah there as opposed to the way we in the West look at it?
Yeah, I think that's one way of looking at it. You know, when you're over here, honestly, I'm sorry, I don't know precisely what the truth is myself either. Obviously, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. They are sending rockets on civilian towns, killing people in Israel. But at the same time, it's a faith-based organization. And, you know, when you say that and you're talking about the Muslim world, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's different. It's a fanatic organization. But people here don't look at it that way. They see Hassan Nasrallah, as one of the few leaders in the Arab world that keeps to his word. He's made some promises to the people in southern Lebanon. He's kept them. He's built the schools. You know, so it's not, it is the turkey and ice cream, but it's more than that. It's a lot of infrastructure that they didn't have until, Nasrallah started building it with Hezbollah. So it's very tricky. It is a social movement, and it really is kind of a state within a state. So they have the political part that does all this, and then they've got the military part that fires rockets at Israel.
There's these 300 Americans who are in southern Lebanon right now. They're trying to get them out. This is a dumb question. Are these military or family of the military or contractors? How is it that there are 300 Americans there? What were they doing in that area?
Yeah, I don't know who those people are specifically, but it is very possible that that's family from the State Department, from the military, although most of those families, I think, got out very early, even before the mass evacuations were happening. And they could be a lot of businessmen. I have run into a lot of investors here in Syria, people from all over Europe, France, Germany, that were in Beirut because they were trying to build businesses. And we talked about that earlier. You know, people really see Beirut, or they did, as a big potential moneymaker, and it's possible that that's who those Americans were as well.
So these Americans who are in southern Lebanon, to whatever extent you know this, I mean, I wonder all kinds of, like, it sounds very pedantic, but first of all, where are they staying? There's just not like a Holiday Inn there that they're probably camped out in, and just being Americans, is that enough to make it a perilous place for them to be? If people see them around, it's going to be like, hey, you, representative of the great Satan.
Wait, you know what it is? Just being anyone in southern Lebanon, honestly, is enough to put you in danger. Our crews there have been told by Israeli Defense Forces that in many sectors, just having a four-wheel vehicle on the road is enough to make you a target.
Yes.
And so really anyone in that area could be in danger if they're moving around, if they're anywhere near Hezbollah territory. As we've seen, Israel, they may have many, many, many precision strikes, but obviously, as we saw with the UN, they've had some problems. They've had some misses, and they've hit places where they say they didn't mean to hit and killed people who are not in Hezbollah. So I think just being anyone in that part of Lebanon, it could be dangerous.
All right. Well, stay safe, and we will talk to you at some point in the very near future. Thank you, Lisa.
It's a deal. See you.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent, currently in Damascus, Syria. All right.
Yeah. Jesus. They need heroes, like Plastic Man. Who could take a superhero like that seriously?
Especially because he was voiced...
taking a job for Plastic Man.
He was... and Spatula Boy.
Yeah.
You, Staple Gun Lad. Especially because he was voiced by Don Adams. Is Don Adams dead? He's dead.
Yes.
He's dead. He's
we
dead a long time. Okay.
No, he died last year.
Was it? Okay, well, whatever. But
I know that for a fact.
He's see, there's some joke. Plastic... I don't know what it is.
Then there's the Green Arrow, who could be confused with the Green Lantern.
Richard Dawson. I don't know the difference between the two. I know that makes me less of a geek and so forth. All I know is that Kevin Smith does the comic book for one of them. I think it's the Green Lantern.
Hmm.
No, it's the Green Arrow. No, I don't know.
You're going to get calls.
Yeah. It's, let's see. Yeah, here we go again. Storm. Let's see. Yeah, I've got all of this. All right. So just a bunch of stuff about Storm. We'll do the Rockstar recap at 2 o'clock. Let's see. Rick, this is from our good friend, Aaron, Geek in the City.
Me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Good
Because I missed Miami Vice last night because I went to I was going to go to Sabala's, and then I was told not to go.
Yeah, I went there, and the projector was nowhere to be found. Sabala's nowhere to be found. It was like 8:40, and so I left because I didn't want to miss it.
No, it's fine.
I left, and then I guess the projector magically appeared, and everyone showed up.
That's fine. I just ended up sitting on my ass at home. Yeah. Aaron, but I blew off the screening of Miami Vice to go to this, and Aaron says, Rick, not only did you pull a Fredo, thank you, not only did you pull a Fredo and miss the screening of Miami Vice, but you also missed me telling a local and for now unnamed film critic to, quote, pound it and get the hell out of the Film Fever Radio's private row. Good times, says Aaron, picking fights left and right, making friends everywhere. There you go. You know, Film Fever, though, I don't know what it is, man. Between Aaron and Scott, those guys swing a pretty big stick. You go to a screening with them, and they do block out an entire row, and they won't let anybody else sit there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Hey, there was a nut loose in the Portland Zoo parking lot trying to stab some lady. A man approached a woman this morning as she took her two young kids out of the car in the zoo parking lot and threatened her with a knife. This happened around 9 o'clock. He demanded the car. The woman had one or two knife wounds, but then she yelled for help.
And a magical peacock came to her rescue.
David Popner, the museum curator of the Oregon Forestry Center, got a couple of guys together and went and sat on the guy until the cops got there. This guy was crazy. He looked like a real scuzzball. The only thing the man who had the knife said was, get off me, I can't breathe.
Only in Oregon, by the way, is that something that you really can conjure up at any moment, is a bystander who's fat enough to sit on a thief and immobilize him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's Tim Ronnie.
Lance Bass, the former NSYNC heartthrob to the ladies, is revealing he is gay. This comes out of people have known this for a long time, but it's official in People magazine, which comes out Friday.
So to speak.
I knew that I was in this popular band, and I had four of the guys' careers in my head that I knew if I acted or even said anything, it would overpower everything. So he kept quiet all these years, so finally he's going to do it. So it's in People magazine.
You know, that is one of those things about where it never occurred to me one way or the other, because the boy bands are not really on my radar. Again, the only two guys in those, if you take the big two, which is NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, mm-hmm. the only two guys at the time that I ever even really registered as existing one way or the other, because again, Justin Timberlake, you know, he didn't really become famous until after NSYNC sort of imploded, till that whole thing had kind of cooled off. I mean, you know, the boy bands are not even really on my radar. The only two I ever noticed are the ones who were hideous. Like, I noticed Chris Kirkpatrick because he was fat and had terrible white man
dreadlocks.
There's
always a bad boy in every band.
Well, no, I'm not talking about... No, Chris Kirkpatrick was not the bad boy, though. He was just ugly. That's the thing. Every boy band has the bad boy. New Kids on the Block, the bad boy was, Sarah?
Donnie Wahlberg, he was my favorite.
Yeah, and he wore a hat made out of metal.
I had so many Donnie Wahlberg pins.
A shirt that said homeboy. It's funny how some things never change. But then you look at Backstreet Boys, and it's what, Kevin Richardson, is that his name?
Who are you? I have no
idea. He's got the beard that's like painted on.
You're more of a boy band fan than I am.
I'm really not. I sort of am.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of pop songs. What are you going to do? I'm zen with that. My O-Town shame, you know, that sort of opened the floodgates. But there was that one guy, and I keep saying it, he had like the Hollywood Hulk Hogan WCW beard that looked like it was painted on with some sort of hair product from the salon. It was like some sort of dye. I guess he was the bad boy, but NSYNC didn't really have a bad boy. They just had the fat guy with the bad hair, and that was Chris Kirkpatrick. And so he's the other one I noticed. The rest of them are all just so like perfectly Disney molded and coiffed that it's like at any, you know, it's one of those things, because sometimes somebody will come out and you're like, oh, of course, I should have known. But it's not the case with that guy, because they all just look like life-size Ken dolls. You know what I mean? They all look like Ken Bozen, former program director of, they all look just like that. Hello, I am a male model. Look at my cheekbones. They are high and huge. You know, look at my hair. It is surgically attached to my head. It cannot be moved. So, anyway, there you go.
So anyway,
what are we doing here?
Oh, we're talking about Lance Bass.
Yeah.
He claims he's in a very stable relationship with the model actor The Amazing Race winner, Oration. Meanwhile, singer George Michael has denied that he's called off his wedding, saying he gave his boyfriend, who he usually cheats on, a $1 million present to mark their 10th anniversary of... Who knows what this anniversary
is
of?
That's called the... the first time I was found on a stained mattress with a pot-bellied man who's on the dole.
That was right before their 10-year anniversary of being together?
Well, there's a joke there that I'm not going to make.
What would these vows consist of if they aren't getting married?
I really don't know. Wait, we're not spending enough time in this story. You just threw it in the trash.
There's more comedic grist there. There's more to be squozing.
So he's pulling the Kobe Bryant.
I was just going to say, that's a Kobe. What is that Likas thing? You mean so much to me. You're the beat to my heart. You're the air that have a diamond. Wouldn't Kobe... Am I wrong? Am I remembering this incorrectly? Or did Kobe give a $4 million ring?
That's correct.
I can't even...
This
is worth more because it's £1 million.
I never saw the picture of the Kobe ring. In fact, I don't even know if one exists.
Oh, it's enormous.
Because his wife
sat at the press conference with him with it flashing. It was enormous. He's sitting there crying on stage, and she's, like, patting his hand. I know you were screwing some other girl, honey. It's okay.
Dumb question. Is it just a big diamond, or is it at least like, is it a color? Is it purple? Is it?
I don't remember if it's a color, but it's huge. It's like that big.
It's like that. It's a Jolie-sized ring.
Yeah.
That ring. Do you remember when Jolie came in? And she had that. It was like one ring in the middle, and like one diamond in the middle, and like 50 diamonds. That ring that Jolie wore.
Beautiful.
It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. I think that ring that Jolie came in with, and those are real diamonds. I think that's the biggest ring I've ever seen in person. I know we're not talking about jewelry, but
Can we just tune into the home shopping club?
Whatever it takes. So George Michael gave his partner what? It was a ring?
It doesn't say, it just says a gift.
A gift worth 10 million pounds?
£1 million, yeah. And the wedding is back on.
So it doesn't say what the gift was. So it might not even have been jewelry.
No.
Well, what else could it have been? Unless you just cut him a check. Like, here you go. Here's for the van driver. Here's for that guy from, that guy from the rugby team. Here's for the guy that comes and cleans the toilet. All right, well, whatever.
The singer recently was cautioned for possessing cannabis in February after being found slumped over the wheel of his car in another park. He denied he was troubled.
I'm getting all of these stories confused now because it seems like he's getting arrested about every 72 hours for something. This is sort of like long downward slide of Boy George. So looks worse and worse every time I see him. Boy George now looks like that guy from the Scream painting. You know, just like a big light bulb shaped head with no hair, just looking all ashen and yellow. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's not in France this time. Now it's Californians dying from the heat. More than a dozen dead in California's Stanislaus County. Their public information officer, David Jones, says cooling centers have been set up to deal with the problem, and hopefully fewer people will die.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was not aware that there was going to be. What is this? Cut four.
The heat has been unprecedented. It's been oppressively hot at night.
Oppressive.
All these factors coming together have made it very challenging for the local community.
Okay.
Tap the Darwin Watch.
I
have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Darwin Watch.
Don't.
For Wednesday.
I ate all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Uh-oh. My heart just stopped. There it goes.
Here's your Darwin Watch.
We got two.
Fantastic.
Because it's two for Wednesday. First comes from Milwaukee, Oregon. A Jeep crashed into a medical building in Milwaukee. At nearly the same time, another car crashed into a coffee shop right across the street. It's all the fault of bees. A bee flew into the Jeep, and the vehicle's driver swatted at the bee as he jumped out of the car. The car then ran him over before plowing into the side of the Northwest Primary Care Center. The driver's arm and chest were run over, and he was transported to an area hospital. Structural damage to the medical center caused officials to evacuate the building, but it's expected to reopen at some point today.
See, normally, in any normal iteration of the story, the obvious... joke here would be the thing about driving your car right into the actual medical facility. And then they had to take him somewhere else. What is that about? Correct me if I'm wrong.
The medical center.
Okay, but did he actually drive into what you termed a primary care center?
Well, the car continued to plow into it after it ran him over.
Why did they have to take him somewhere else if you're at the primary care center? Doesn't primary mean initial and first and paramount?
It would, yes. I don't know.
I think we found the hole in the medical procedures here in Portland. Secondly, and we'll get to the second. Did you say the story that the bee was in the Jeep?
Yes.
Not unlike my bum is on the chair. The bee was in the Jeep, and he swatted and then jumped out.
Yes.
Well, what kind of sense does that make? I don't understand.
Well, this is Milwaukee.
Explains it all. He's, I guess, I mean, if it's a Jeep, presumably it's kind of, you know, you just roll down the windows or whatever. You ever, hey, have you ever done this? Have you ever been driving along and you've seen not a bee but a spider in the car with you? Oh, that'll make you veer all over the road. I very nearly just crashed my car dozens of times. Somehow some giant scaly arachnid clutching a knife will find its way into my car. And that's, if I ever find like a spider or anything, that's, I don't care where I am. I just full on pull over to the side of the road. All driving stops until I can get there. That happened to Kristen Bowie the other day too. Kristen Bowie, who filled in for Sarah a few weeks ago on the show, she has a whole blog posting about it. She's driving along, and she looks over, and on the inside of the driver's side window is a huge spider. And it's the whole thing, and she's whizzing along at like 65 miles an hour. And that, at that point, it's just a question of exactly how you're going to die. Like, is the car wreck going to do it before the spider can take you out? All right, so the moral is, don't jump out of a moving Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would sort of be like lesson one when you get driver's education here in Portland, but what do I know?
Well, just for fun, friends of Gerald Manello and Hermine Kettering went up and play a game called Stuntman.
It's hard to believe this ends badly. Where is this at?
This comes to us, what is this? Oh, Chicago, I believe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, one of the 18-year-olds would stand on the bumper of a van, hold on tightly, while the other drove the vehicle slowly down local streets.
Slowly, uh-huh.
But on July 11th, the game turned tragic. When Matalo fell from the back of the moving vehicle and struck his head on the pavement as his friend drove down Lansing Street, he died of his injuries. They were doing what they normally did, said Lansing Police Sergeant John Koch. It certainly wasn't an intentional act to either party. It was a tragic accident.
Here's what goes through that cop's head when he goes to the scene of some accident where a kid has been playing a game called Stuntman, where he hangs off the back of a truck that drives down the streets of Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know what that kid's thinking about? It just saves him the trouble of arresting that guy in like 5 years when he gets caught burgling somebody's house, and we all know that's true. The kid who plays Stuntman at the age of 16 is the kid that holds a sharpened screwdriver to your spine, you know, on a subway years later.
So that's that.
There you go.
There's nothing more that needs to be
said.
And
that story wraps itself up with a nice red bow. There's your Darwin watch.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Oh, that's a terrible story.
Is it?
Tim just held up the worst story I've ever seen. It's not my, the worst.
It's my job.
No, oh, we'll get to that as you say. And it's from Florida.
Yes, it is.
I'm calling it right now because I saw Sarah sneaking a look over there.
I can't even see it.
All right.
Thanks for the heads up.
All right. Let's take a couple of these calls really quickly. Jerry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing today?
I'm rolling along, brother.
All righty. The best thing about when you have a bee or a spider in your vehicle or on the street and you're just flailing away at that thing, trying to get it away from you, no one sees it. They just see you acting like a crazy person.
No, that is true. You just look like you're having some sort of a conniption fit. I don't even know what is a conniption fit? Is that real?
It's something old people talk about.
That's my grandmother. My grandma. Don't have a conniption fit, boy. But I don't even understand if it's a real thing. No, you're right, because they can't see the spider, the bug, the gnat, the fly, the weevil, the mole, the aphid. All they see is just you twitching around like you've got some sort of bizarre palsy going
on. Exactly.
Absolutely
Tourette's
right.
Or something.
My
ex was definitely afraid of bees. Sometimes I'd tell her there was a bee by her just to watch her go into the Macarena mode. Have a good one, man.
Thank you, sir. All right. Let's welcome to the... Oh, this is Rick Emerson. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm all up in his grill.
That's Carol.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Carol, the token Italian. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm adorable. What can I do for you, Carol?
Boy band info.
Yes.
And you're not all up on your boy band.
Can I just tell you something about you that's unnerving?
What?
You sound, and your mannerisms, I'm not saying it's a reflection on you as a person, because I think it's just a coincidence, but your voice, your mannerisms, you have a very sort of strident way of speaking, a very forceful way of speaking. You sound and speak... Scotty's typing in the screen that you also seem to know everything. In all ways, you sound like this horrible Gladys Kravitz neighbor that I've got.
That's what my daughter said. Exactly.
So you are the embarrassing mom.
I have six kids, but
I've got this.
Gotta be that way.
So, all right, what have you got, sister?
Okay, boy band. The dude that paints on his mustache is AJ, not Kevin Richardson.
Okay, I don't know who Kevin Richardson is then. Is he in a boy band?
Because that's who you said it was. That's the name you keep using, and that's the only one that anybody recognizes out of the Backstreet Boys.
No, I know. What's his name? Is it Nick Carter?
Oh, well, yeah. Him and his problems.
And then he had that creepy, weird brother that made the pedophile
the
slumber
creepy,
party
weird
videos.
Mom that stole all their money,
All right. Okay, so yes, A.J. McClain.
A.J. is the one who paints on his...
Yeah, he I swear to God, he painted his beard on. It was the most hilarious thing. All right, yes.
So, is that I might just turn into, instead of the Italian, I can be the Gladys Kravitz of the show.
No, and it's like every neighborhood has this woman that you try, if you see her out and she, and this woman's always doing the same thing. Standing there, watering her lawn with a garden hose for like an hour. The lawn has turned into a swamp. She's still standing there with a hose, just doing it. Standing there, just waiting to ensnare the postal guy, the meter reader, some TriMet bus driver, me when I'm walking the dog, doesn't matter. Wants to collar me and just haul me into some tedious conversation that you somehow can never tear yourself away from. And we learned this the first month we lived there, because at first you just think, oh, how nice, how friendly, what a great thing, a neighbor wants to share conversation with us. But it just quickly turns into one of those, it's not really a conversation you have with a woman like that, with the Gladys Kravitz type. It's not a conversation, it is just standing there and going, while she gives you a long laundry list of all the things that are happening to her that are bad, all the pains she's got anywhere in her body, all the horrible things her children are doing to her, and everybody who has annoyed or bothered her within the last 48-hour period, and that she's got a neighbor who just doesn't understand that the dog can't, you know, go to the bathroom on her lawn. And so you talk to her and you realize that you can never get caught in a conversation with her ever again. So I'll take the dog out to walk him, and if I see her standing up front, it's like a quick left. I avert my eyes. If she calls my name, I pretend that I don't hear it. So I've actually done this. I tell you this. I have actually done this. I have actually walked out of my house. I will see her standing up front. I will quickly take my dog, and I'll turn to the left and start walking the other way down the block. She will actually sort of call my name. She'll be like, hey, Rick, how's it going? Can I talk to you for a second? And I will do this. I have actually... With nothing in my left hand, I have held my empty left hand up to my head and pretended that I am on the phone, speaking literally just into my hand, and then animatedly, like waving my arms around a lot, like, well, I couldn't possibly sell it for less than 15. Just a conversation that makes no sense, just so she won't talk to me.
At the beginning, I was a wealth of non-information.
No, it's true.
Okay, so, you know.
All right. Thank you, Carol.
I did. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
All right. There you go. Oh, that's the wrong. No, that's my fault. That's okay. Thank you.
I'm all up in his grill.
All right. It's 503. That never gets old. It's and Scotty J told me he has the Bewitched music. Oh, there you go. Fantastic. You don't know Gladys Kravitz. You don't know Gladys Kravitz like I know Gladys.
I do not.
You don't even know. You don't know Joyce DeWitt. That was a joke I made earlier that went completely over your Generation Y head.
Oh, Larry Tate's wife passed away last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Agnes Moorehead is dead, isn't she?
Yes.
All right. Are you Generation Y?
A? Are we starting over?
No, I'm asking Sarah.
I don't know.
I don't know that we've ever discerned that. What year were you born? 80?
I think we did a few years
80,
ago.
81?
80.
80.
Oh, that was a bad year for me. Car repossession. Meeting all the wrong people.
Okay.
Making poor choices.
Okay. I'm just picturing...
Incidents that scar you for life.
I'm just picturing you being let out of a house in handcuffs, coated in blood and, you know, crystal meth. Oh, I've chosen poorly. All right.
Here's my Toyota Celica, who was in the driveway a few minutes ago.
I've had that feeling, too, the repossession. Have you ever done this when your car's... This is a radio conversation. Have you ever done this when your car's repossessed? You come out, and you go... This is the thing where you go to that space, and you know in your heart, you know that's where your car was parked, and you know what's gone on. You know your car's been repossessed, but you won't allow yourself to believe it, and so you check other spaces. I've done this, walked out of the building, and like... La 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 la, and it's literally walking with my keys in my hand, and then it's like, if this was a movie, the camera would be tracking along with my feet on the sidewalk, and then ending like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at the empty parking space. And then you cut to me going, well, where the hell? Well, Maybe it's in the other. Many lots look alike. Maybe it's in the other parking lot. And in your, but in there's that back of your head that it's not. It's been repossessed. They've taken it away. You'll never drive again.
But, and the day before you got the sunroof down, sing along with Blondie, call me with the radio up all the way.
Thinking nothing could ever go wrong. Oh, it's the worst feeling.
Top of my game.
And then you've got these are the best of times. And then you've got to call that phone number, be like, hello, I believe you have something of mine. And they say,
no, Mr. Emerson, you have something of ours. And now we have it again. Goodbye now. Good day.
You know, just standing there going, oh.
And you go by the picture that, the billboard that had your picture on it the day before, and you've been whitewashed out of it.
It says Radio Disney on top. Oh, man. I got some great car repossession stories. We'll tell them all someday. Radio rules. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Scott.
What Thank started you, sir. This? I believe it. The mention of 1980.
My birth year. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, it was a joyous year for your parents, I'm sure.
Okay. We've got Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics coming up. We'll find out who lurks on Scotty J's guest to book list.
And a septic tank crushes a Florida man. What more can you ask for? You don't get this on music radio.
Oh, this day's looking up after all. Later on, Rockstar Recap. Here's Tom Kiefer and the rest of Cinderella. AM 570, Solid State Radio. Stay there.